As usual, the Christmas season is always too short. But as every season is given to us, it anticipates another season, another step in growth, a step further in the drama we've been destined for. As we look to the baptism of our Lord as the beginning of ordinary time, while also still, you know, technically Christmas is the last day of Christmas, but also the beginning of the first week of ordinary time, we must think of, you know, what the gift of Christmas was destined to provide. In that, you know, Christmas was a season of the generosity of heaven. Now it is given to us. We turn to our own baptisms, mindful that we are to be gift givers as well. That's why we will turn to a color that is green, a color that resembles a fruitful season. Now it is time to harvest what the Lord plants. Let it grow and foster within our lives and generously give back. We look to our Savior Jesus Christ as the first of human beings who has done this, the first to truly give back an honorable, a worthy gift to the Father who was the one who loved first of all. We see him in his baptism as Savior, as the first step, the first open and public act of his ministry for his saving work. As Gregory of, I don't know if I'm saying his name right, Thaumaturgus said that Jesus is the new and perfect Noah. While Noah built the ark to protect us, protect at least his own family from the flood, now Jesus comes with a water that will indeed wash over us like a flood, but that water will surely save us, not destroy us. And furthermore, as the dove descends upon him, not bearing an olive branch, keeping us mindful that the destination is nearby, the dove descends upon Jesus, mindful that he is the destination. He is the reward. As St. John said in his letter, we are not baptized, Jesus did not baptize only by water, but by water and blood, which meant that his baptism is that of regifting. Every gift anticipates a regift. That image that we have in the Gospel of Mark is so, it's so potent for us. When we think of the heavens being torn open, does that sound like a father who's desperately eager to get to his children? Does he walk in, proclaim himself casually, or is it eagerly? Heavens being torn apart, the love of God being so great, it creates like a seismic activity of sorts. And you see it again later on in the Gospels. You don't see it in Mark's Gospel, you see it in Matthew's. But not at the baptism, per se. It's where our Lord is crucified, and that love is repeated, given back to the Father. It's not the sky that tears apart, but it's the earth that rends. The drama that is before us is earth-shattering. It's so potent. It runs so deep. Even the entire cosmos can't help but announce it. As our Lord, as St. John says, his baptism was one of water and blood. It means that every baptism is destined to be a gift itself, which means that we, in our own baptisms, while we are destined to be true recipients of God's love, we are made to be sacrificial in that baptism, just as Jesus was. And as we surrender to that same love, we approach our Heavenly Father as He approached us. Not as a tumultuous or frightening vision that was used to appear on Mount Sinai with thunder and lightning and fire, but we approach in gentleness, like the gentleness of a little dove. There's so much we have to give now that He has given it, and we don't need to be afraid. The world right now is indeed afraid. And we as Christians, we who know the destination as the dove, the Holy Spirit who came in the form of a dove, pointed out that destination. We who know that destination, the way, the truth, and the life, there is no cause for us to panic. We have nothing but hope and the peace of our Father to share. As we start this first week of ordinary time, let us pray that we find ways to eagerly, enthusiastically share that peace, share that solace, and bring consolation to an anxious world. Thanks be to God.